Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who is from New York City and whose pronouns are she and her. And despite what you might be thinking, I don't say my pronouns for fun or to be politically correct or because I think it makes me sound smart or to confuse you or to get on your nerves or anything of the like. You see, stating your own pronouns and normalizing a space where pronouns are discussed and affirmed is all a part of creating safe and affirming spaces for our trans and non-binary family. Which leads me to the topic of today's very special episode of Inner Ho Uprising. So let's hit you with a little bit of backstory here. So if you don't know, Inner Ho Uprising is comprised of four folks in addition to myself. We got Akua, a mental health professional and a bad bitch whose pronouns are she and her. We got Rodeca, aka Rebecca, a biohacking gamer and kind soul whose pronouns are also she and her. And we got Rob, our resident firefighter and science nerd and brolic-ass motherfucker whose pronouns are they and them. Rob is also an agender non-binary person. And if you don't know what that means, maybe you should keep listening. Recently, Rob was a guest on a fellow New York City-based self-described educational sex podcast. The name of that show is Horrible Decisions. You might have heard me mention Rob's appearance on last week's episode of our podcast. Throughout the course of the episode, it became pretty clear that the show's hosts were unfamiliar with gender non-binary identities, as lots of folks are. That ignorance led to them frequently misgendering our co-host and using she and her pronouns to refer to someone who has they and them pronouns. And for context, the hosts were made aware that Rob's pronouns are they and them. I won't get too much into that. If you'd like to hear it for yourself, I'm linking that episode in the show notes. If hearing folks be misgendered is not something you feel comfortable with listening to right now, I don't blame you. I'd suggest you not listen to that episode. And I apologize for not mentioning that last week. So due to the nature of how that podcast interview was conducted, along with the stress of being a trans person misgendered in a space run by cisgender people, Rob didn't have much of a chance to speak about the wonderfully complex world of gender. And believe me, Rob is a very knowledgeable person and has a lot to say about gender. You see, diverse gender identities are new to many folks, and I will openly admit that I have not always been the most well-versed person when it comes to gender identity. But in my journey towards working to get myself and all my black siblings free of oppression, I've done a lot of work to learn, grow, and understand. The 5+ years and 200+ episodes of this show are largely a byproduct of that work. So, little story. When I was 16, I met a very dope, educated, hilarious person through a mutual friend. I think our first encounter was walking up Baisley Boulevard in Queens to go to someone's house to go play Guitar Hero. That person remained my friend for many years, and when I was 23, that person came out to me as trans. We spoke all about gender identities, and I attended some local spaces for trans folks here in New York with them to help support them through their journey. And when I was 24 and stuck without a co-host for this podcast, I asked that same person to come on and co-host an episode with me about gender identity. I didn't ask them to do that to share my ignorance with them or to tell them how frustrating it is to learn all of this new information. I did it to collaborate with them, to become a co-conspirator in making sure Inner Ho Uprising listeners went out into the world more informed and empathetic of folks with gender identities outside of being a cisgender man or woman. And before that episode, in true Sam fashion, I stayed up all night learning everything I could about gender. In order to create a safe space for my then guest Rob and a knowledgeable space for my information hungry listeners. It's a practice that continues on with Inner Ho Uprising to this day and always will. That episode was called 54 Genders or None. You can keep listening to find out why it was called that. It was recorded in 2017, and despite being 5 years old, the information learned and the stories told in the episode hold up to this day. And that fact became very apparent to myself and my co-host after hearing Rob's episode on Horrible Decisions and seeing the reactions to Rob from some of the folks who listened to and watched the episode. So to keep it a buck, the reactions to that episode pissed me the fuck off. They were extremely hurtful to my friend. And they were left on the show's platform unchecked and uncorrected. But I also found the comments really sad and indicative of people who lacked empathy and knowledge about gender identities. Here are a few of the things that were said. And if you don't wish to hear blatant transphobia, by all means, please skip ahead about 2 minutes. And I do want to note, for transparency's sake, because this is something that just came to my attention as I am recording this, that the aforementioned comments, as of Tuesday night, the night before I'm about to release this episode, the comments have been deleted after festering there for about a week for all to see. So we got Abina M, who says, "Isn't a person being called they a sign of schizophrenia?" So Abina, I want you to know that our resident mental health professional Akua says that your comment makes no sense and that being called they is in no way, shape, or form a sign of schizophrenia. So I wonder where you got that from. We got Melissa B, who said, "This quote unquote girl, Rob," I'm saying quote unquote, they're not. "This girl, Rob, actually confused the fuck out of me as she is confusing herself trying to redefine herself scientifically." So this one I found funny because Rob has a whole degree in biology and psychology, and I just wonder if Melissa does. I wonder if Melissa has any degree in any kind of science, to be honest. But don't worry, Melissa and all others, you can keep listening to this episode to learn why gender and biological sex are two very different things. Then we got GSU for Life, who says, "I don't understand how you can refer to one person as they. They is a pronoun that describes more than one person. I don't understand how you can use they to describe sexuality." So GSU, I want you to know that the English word they has been used as a singular pronoun in addition to being a plural pronoun since the 1300s. It's over 700 years now. And you can check the Merriam-Webster link in our show notes if you don't believe me. And I also want you to know that gender and pronouns don't describe your sexuality. That's two different things. And perhaps you can keep listening to learn the distinction there. We also got my unfortunate namesake, Yo Sam. And Yo Sam says, "This identity shit is confusing, y'all. Y'all expect me to remember what to who to call what or this or that. This shit is crazy. I barely remember shit from high school." So luckily for you, Sam, it's never too late to learn something new. In fact, when you do learn something new, you can create more neural pathways in your brain, which allow you to learn more things quickly and more easily. It's like a win-win-win for all of us, including you. And then we got Joanna D, who says, "That girl in middle is a girl. She, her, and that's it." So I'm going to stop with the comments because I don't think anyone needs to hear much more of that. But something that really hurt about this entire rigmarole is that Horrible Decisions is a self-described educational sex podcast that aims to bring new ideas to the Black community. Yet a space for robust dialogue about gender identity in order to bring new ideas to the Black community wasn't provided for Rob. And as you can see, many listeners walked away committed to a continued ignorance of gender identities outside of their own. And I think that's harmful. I could list a slew of statistics about how trans and non-binary people are particularly vulnerable to physical violence, bullying, detrimental mental health outcomes, less job opportunities, familial rejection, suicide, and a hell of a lot more. But I'll actually just leave you with the fact that my best friend is a non-binary Black person, and in this interview and through these reactions, they were harmed. And if you have a lick of empathy, that might mean something to you. Today, thankfully, Rob is in a good space mentally, and we do love to hear that. They appreciate the folks who reached out to check in on them via social media after hearing the episode and seeing the vile and ignorant things that folks had to say in the comment sections. And if you, listening right now, are interested in learning all about the complexities of gender, including but not limited to the difference between biological sex and gender, how genders go beyond quote-unquote man and quote-unquote woman in so many different cultures across the world, why animals don't fit narratives about traditional gender roles, so you can stop using those in your arguments, what it means to be a gender and non-binary, and the one population of people who literally have a gender called balls at 12. That's a translation, but you can find out that and so much more in this episode. And that episode is called, like I mentioned, 54 Genders or None. It's a truncated version of the episode that came out in 2017. It cuts out parts irrelevant to the discussion of gender, along with some stuff that we no longer agree with and think is harmful to our queer community. We honor everyone's ability to grow, and we have grown so much since 2017. But if you'd like to hear that episode unaired, you can hit the link in the show notes and hold us accountable for our previous bullshit. It starts with me, Sam, asking Rob to tell me a little bit more about what it means to be agender, and quietly listening as they reply.
So, can we just talk about your gender identity really quick? Because this episode is going to be called 54 Genders. Talking about gender, you're wearing a shirt that says gender is over.
Yes, I am.
Tell us a little about your relationship with gender.
So I am a transgender person, specifically an agender person, also known as like gender non-conforming. I prefer like pronouns they, there, but I just do find it weird when people like call me a woman. Mm-hmm. It's a very strange thing. Mm-hmm. And it's still kind of new. It's been what, like two, three years since mm-hmm. I came to this epiphany. So I'm just navigating the world as a trans ass nigga.
Yes. So this is just a cursory introduction to the concept of gender with my agender friend here. So gender, what is it, according to you? A bio major, an agender person.
Yes, bio, hey. I mean, gender is the roles assigned to his birth. Mm-hmm. So it's like, cool. Oh my God, look, I had a child with a penis. I had a boy.
Yeah.
I had a child with a vagina. I had a girl. Mm-hmm. Gender reveal parties. I'm having a girl. I'm having a boy.
People love those.
I'm going to have a poop. Like, oh my God, look at this little poop coming outside of me.
Look at my doo-doo.
This is my little poopy. It's really a societal concept. Mm-hmm. Transgender only exists because gender exists. Mm-hmm. So... It's different than your sex. People have a hard time understanding that concept.
Let's get into that. Let's talk about biological sex versus gender. So definition-wise, biological sex identifies a person as either male, female, or intersex. Wow, it said female first, and I still had to say male first. And that's so weird. I was reading, I was like, male. It's definitely male.
It's hard. But as long as you know,
yeah.
That is the first step.
Knowing is the first step. Mm. A person is either female, male, or intersex. It is based on a person's sexual anatomy, their chromosomes, or their hormones. So typically, a person with XX chromosomes and female reproductive organs is categorized as female. A person with XY chromosomes and male reproductive organs is categorized as male. And people with variations in either are considered intersex. And that is just the baseline, because there's a lot of stuff about intersex people, yeah. Which I want to do in like a different episode or whatever, yeah. But yeah, the shit runs deep. So basically people are categorized as in a specific gender based on what their biological sex is. So if you're born with those female sex characteristics, you're called a girl and then a woman. If you're born with those male characteristics, you're called a man or boy. And if you're born with those intersex characteristics, no one ever talks
you're
about that.
You're called a he, she.
Exactly.
A, what is it?
It used to be hermaphrodite.
But, you know,
yeah.
You're a he, she.
Or you're raised as a man, even though you have several different parts.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, I don't quite feel like this. Yeah. And your parents are like, yes, the fuck you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you
yeah,
cut
yeah.
off your boobs or something like that, or like we cut off your penis,
yeah.
And then that causes a whole bunch of shit with intersex people in the future. So gender is the state of being male or female. That's according to Google. I don't really like that definition, but it says typically used with reference to social and cultural differences rather than biological ones. The definition that I like is culturally and socially constructed difference between men and women that varies from place to place and time to time. And that includes like your roles, your dress, your behavior, your expression, and all that kind of shit. And then this concept of even distinguishing biological sex from gender started to occur in the 1950s when this guy named John Money differentiated the two, and then it was really adopted in the 1970s by the feminist movement, and now the distinction is used mostly in the social sciences, but I think like amongst the proletariat, like regular people, it's just like, oh, you were born with a penis? You're a man,
yeah.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. So even though social scientists have said that gender is distinct from biological sex, there are people who feel like gender is a social construction. There are people who feel like biological essentialism is a thing. So biological essentialism is Basically, gender essentialism is the idea that men and women have inherent, unique, and natural abilities, attributes that qualify them as their separate genders. So it's like people who are born with penises are strong, non-emotional, leaders, dominant, logical, and people who are born with vaginas and XX chromosomes are weak, emotional, illogical, nurturing, and submissive.
What?
Thoughts about that? It just doesn't really even make any sense,
that's
honestly.
Crazy.
Like, you can just deconstruct this shit so far down. Like, if you just think about the fact that people are born intersex, how am I both weak and strong at the same time? Illogical and logical at the same time. Emotional and non-emotional at the same time.
That's so funny.
Passive and aggressive. Submissive and dominant.
It's just so funny because there's so many... I don't know. Like, yeah. I can't call it because I guess... I've, for a long time, had distinguished between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, reading this and going, that's how men are supposed to be?
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of men who are logical.
Right.
Or fucking...
Men are so illogical, actually. That's the thing. But that's, I feel like it's because they're indoctrinated to be illogical. Like, I don't think anybody's actually away because they were born that way.
No, or maybe there's certain things that are attributed to biology and mm-hmm. genes, but mm-hmm. it's not like that way. It's your capability of being that.
Yeah,
way.
Exactly.
Nurture has a way to nurture plays a role with everything.
Exactly. So basically, nature versus nurture is a myth, and people and animals are the way they are because of how their biological whatever infrastructure interacts with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So an example of that, what do I have here? Boys are slightly more active than girls because physically they're more interacted with their parents at birth. So like if you're going to play with your boy son and you're not going to play with your girl child, then
true.
Niggas is going to grow up to play football and girls are going to grow up to do different things.
True.
And then also like your muscles will develop in a different way because you're using them from a certain time as opposed to not using them.
Okay.
So just, this is just a whole bunch of reasons why gender essentialism is bullshit. So gender essentialism ignores societal impact that we have. So some things that people say about women, for example, is like women have low sex drives. And there's so much about this. I have this whole thing about animals and animals in society who are categorized as female having really, really high sex drives.
Yo, yeah.
But so if you like ask, there was a study done and they asked women how they feel about women who have a lot of sexual partners versus women who don't have a lot of sexual partners. And basically the women who responded were like, the women who have a lot of sexual partners are cold, unstable, mm-hmm. and some other fucked up mm-hmm. shit. So it's like, if you believe that if you have a high sex drive, you are not good as a woman, then you're probably going to suppress yourself sexually. Mm-hmm. And gender essentialism pretty much ignores all that and is just like, well, the animal kingdom said that women need mates. So they fucking closed their legs and waited for the best mate to come.
Yeah.
But that ain't true. It's just not true. And then like in societies where it's like how we let boys play with Legos and things like that from birth and like constructionist toys. So by the time you get to college and you're thinking of majoring in STEM, boys have a greater spatial awareness because they've actually
used it.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to people who just weren't doing that, like playing with the dolls or whatever. So.
I mean, even another study about that is, observation more than anything there. Boys are better at math and science than girls, mm-hmm. but that was because teachers praise mm-hmm. boys. Even if a girl and a boy got the same grade, the teacher would praise the boy.
Wow.
Less than they praise the girl, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So yes, more boys will continue on to these careers because they were praised for it and women were suppressed for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's always so funny to me to like hear these things, especially because people like really believe this stuff.
People do. Like if you argue with someone about just anything about what their gender does, anything about gender essentialism, they'll just say, baby, it's science. I don't know why they're always calling me baby, but they are. Baby, it's science. And I'm like, what science are you really talking about? Like, what study can you actually cite? And they're just like, it's just science. And then they do that animal kingdom bullshit.
Yeah.
because we're animals.
But... I mean, yeah, we're animals, and we're also animals with, like, fucking psyches and, like, huge brains.
We are the most complex animals to have existed ever.
We're out here. We're in my crib with, like, fucking headphones. This is a house.
Like a podcast. You're painting things.
And I have a dog.
You own other animals. I own other animals.
Just shitting everywhere. That is so true. Barking at the door. So it's like, I mean... It's always been such a controversial thing, but it's like when you really think about why it's controversial, like who thinks it's controversial?
Weapon. Yeah, exactly. people, I mean, the whole gender essentialism thing just so happens to fit with the idea that men are dominant and stuff like that. And then also if you like delve a little bit deeper into biological essentialism, then you can get into weird territories like, well, black people are just not as smart as white people.
Yeah.
And then shit gets really odd.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying this IHU throwback, but moreover, I hope you're enjoying life. It can certainly be tough to do so in a world rife with, what do we got here, bigotry, viral pandemics, economic uncertainty, and even the everyday woes of life, right? Shit began tough for me, like, seriously, which is why I really appreciate my favorite online teletherapy service, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours with the quickness. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, plus the services available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone or chat sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp, along with we here at the Inner Hoe Uprising podcast, want you to start living a happier life today. And if you're looking for some reviews, you can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 of these here United States. You can visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. This podcast that you're listening to right now is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Inner Hoe Uprising listeners, that's you, right now at this very moment, can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. That is 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. All right, back to 2017, Rob and Sam.
I mean, even when I was on the train, there was a guy who I think was blind or something or whatever, and he was like a BK Vietnam vet, and he's like, I'm not asking for money, but I just want all these weak, punk-ass young men who are sitting down to get up and give women seats.
No, that's okay.
It was so strange because he was very adamant. He preached about 5 minutes, very loudly.
Wow. About that specifically?
Yes, about that specifically, about men allowing women to stand. And then some men were getting up and letting women sit.
Well, that's that masculinity so fragile. Like, you're questioning my manhood.
Yeah, it was weird to me because it was weird. But it was weird to me because I felt like I was weird for thinking that he was wilding. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he was wild because I'm like, why did you think that just because I was a woman I needed a seat? Is it because you care so... Now, it's different. If you're like, women go through enough. Mm-hmm. They work so hard to get only half of what we get. The least we can do is offer them a seat. That's another thing.
Yeah.
But what I felt was that women are weaker
creatures. Yeah.
Like, they need to sit. You don't need to sit. You're a man. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not offering my seat to nobody unless you older pregnant, because I know your fucking bones hurt. just because you have a vagina. I mean, that's one thing about feminism, is equal in general. Mm-hmm. So it's like your vagina doesn't entitle you to a seat.
No.
And your penis doesn't entitle you to getting up from me. Mm-hmm. Common courtesy, just, I mean, when there's a bad, beautiful, tired-looking woman on the train, yes, I get up, but it's because I want to stare at her from across the train without her looking at me.
Yeah.
But, I mean... But it's not because, you know, necessarily because that's a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you look so tired, you're so weak, you've been working all day, here's a seat.
Yeah.
Like, and then that's how people think. Yeah. It's so crazy to me. Like, no.
You know what I sometimes wonder about just, like, strength and what, not even physical strength, but just strengths between biological males and biological females? Like, we have this whole culture where we pride specific things that biological men can do better than biological women, and we loud that as what's strong. But there's tons of things that people who were born with XX chromosomes and vaginas get, like, I feel like those people are more flexible at the very least, but nobody cares about flexibility. No. That's not like the epitome of strength.
No.
So it's all constructed around what these people in these specific bodies can do better than these people in these specific bodies.
Yes.
And then half of it is just bullshit and made up. Like, in terms of men, quote unquote, being stronger than women, biological males are only about 20% larger and stronger than biological females. But in the animal kingdom, there's like big ass fish, like big ass female fish, mm-hmm. and little ass, yeah, in the exact same species. Like, it's crazy.
Little motherfucking fish.
Yeah.
So you got other species who just be the female, get pregnant, just eat the motherfucker.
Exactly. Spiders just kill the nigga.
Eating them. eating all kinds of shit.
I didn't even know that.
Boy.
So just a little bit of animal fodder, even though we're just not animals. And then also animals, like us, develop in tandem with the environment. It's not just biological. It's not just the environment. It's a thing that's happening, which makes sense. Like, nobody's going to develop in a vacuum. It's not possible. But animals who do, like, people say, like, cats always land on their toes. Cats who have never experienced gravity, those niggas just fall.
No!
They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because they've never experienced it. So, a little bit about animals, if you think that, like, things are a certain way because it exists in the animal kingdom. Lionesses hunt and catch way more prey than actual lions, and the family structures are matriarchal. Female topi antelopes are sexual aggressors, and the men play hard to get, or the males play hard to get. Which negates that whole, like, women are or females are selective because they have the wombs and they should choose. No, niggas is just out here trying to fuck, honestly. I think it's the Rheus female monkeys objectify and chase the male monkeys and kind of damn near rape the monkeys. I've heard that. So, yeah, monkeys out here wilding. Female bees run the entire structure of the hive.
Yep.
Male anglerfish is... this one was funny to me. Male anglerfish essentially are parasites with male reproductive organs who are available to females whenever fertilization is needed. I just thought of, like, a bum ass nigga. He's just offering dick and playing 2K.
And you're like, oh, okay, let me get some dick. And then you don't want no more dick, and the nigga just around existing, eating your food.
Babe, let me get $5 for my lineup.
You fucking virus ass.
So I was like, oh, that's not too different from the animal kingdom.
Nah, definitely not.
One third of albatrosses pair in same-sex couples. Clownfish, eels, slipper shells, and mad other animals just change sex.
Yeah.
For fucking various reasons.
Tapeworms.
Yeah. They just become female or male when it calls for it. Mm-hmm. You can't use the animal kingdom to justify what's natural or unnatural because shit just be happening.
It varies.
Yeah,
it does vary because you do also have, I mean, female species who are very selective,
mm-hmm.
Because they want to have the most, their child to survive.
Like, yeah.
They want to have the most survival percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got, motherfuckers just be fucking. And we just be fucking.
Apparently, ducks have corkscrew vaginas that are opposite to male duck corkscrew dicks. Because ducks were out here fucking sexually assaulting people. So they were just like, let me just evolve my vagina to not accept this penis. Shit is crazy out here.
Oh my God, what?
Evolution is
very interesting. I gotta read about that separately. That sounds like a thesis right there. Talk about ducks and sexual assault.
Rape culture and ducks. And the corkscrew dicks. Let me get my vagina on corkscrew.
Oh my God.
Fuck these niggas over. These raping ass niggas. So there's that that dispels that whole argument that gender essentialism is a thing. But then there's also various cultures that don't have the exact same or even close to the same gender roles that we in this Western society have. Do you know anything about that?
I know that the Taínos, mm-hmm. prior to colonization and genocide, they had a fairly matriarchal society.
Mm-hmm.
Women participated in government very heavily. Lineage was traced back through the mother, mm-hmm. not the father. And also just people just kind of had sex with whoever they wanted to. There was no, oh, I'm a dude, so I'm gonna fuck with this chick.
Yeah.
I want this bitch. Yeah. Nah, it's like dudes.
That's an attractive ass person. Yeah.
Yes, attractive person. There was no gender construct. And I know somebody who's like, oh, but you know, women since cavemen, they stayed home with the kids because men were more superior. It's like, no, women stayed with the kids because when women stayed with the kids, they had a higher chance of survival because of breastfeeding. Because women have a link with their child, so they know what their child needs, mm-hmm. but not because women were weaker. Like, women had kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really think about it as a revolutionary like concept, it's like women had kids.
Ain't no babies passing through penises.
No, absolutely not.
And if your body was capable of doing that, you'd know.
Yes.
Like, if you had to have periods once a month, you'd know how strong niggas with vaginas really fucking are.
It's, I mean, I can say that I am stronger than most of my male friends who are like, you know, relatively like close to me in size.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't say that that was a thing, but there's people who think that all societies are made like, no, women stay home with the kids. It's like, or what about like grandmothers who stay home with the kids while women do this, like, mm-hmm. equal, like, mm-hmm. maybe not necessarily hunting, but they forage. There are societies like, it's a society in Africa, if I'm not mistaken, in Tanzania, but I might be wrong, but they're one of the Click language,
mm-hmm.
Tribes. But yeah, the women, they spend their days foraging.
Mm-hmm.
So fruits, berries, things like that, and foraging wood and stuff, while men hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But they not chilling. They just not hunting.
Yeah. Neither of those people are just like, let me just stay home with the kids because my feet hurt.
Man, you know, I'm just going to get my nails done, my hair done. The kids, and even the kids, like, they take care of the things at the back. They not out here chilling like, oh, you're a girl, here's a doll. Ain't no fucking dolls in the fucking wild.
Niggas
you feel
have to
me?
Survive.
You damn
niggas is just
eat.
Doing various things to survive.
I'm saying, and they live for a very long time. They live significantly longer than us. Why? Of course, diet, but also societal stress in general.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not like, oh, I didn't meet the status quo.
Yeah,
my
I'm not getting 70% of these berries because I'm a
because I'm a woman. I'm a short woman, a weak woman.
Yeah.
So I guess I should die young.
Yeah.
I don't even deserve to live.
Yeah.
God, fucking knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Read, my friends.
Facts.
Read.
But if you don't want to read, I have mad examples.
We got
of
you.
Gender roles in various societies at various times. So I thought it was interesting the thing that you said about women not being hunters. So in what is now Benin, in the Dahomey kingdom, the Mino were a female/woman tribe of warriors who were unmarried, childless, and aggressive, and they were just on the front lines.
Okay.
Niggas was just fighting because
mm-hmm.
they had to.
Gotta do what
protect
you gotta
the Dahomey
do.
Tribe. then sticking with Africa, we have, so this woman named Oye Ronki Oye Wumi, who's a Yoruba feminist, staked the claim in this book called The Invention of Women that prior to the colonization of West Africa, Yoruba people didn't really have gender. Like, they had the words Obinrin and Okurin, which meant male and female sex, like born with dick, born with vagina, but it didn't have any attributes attached to it. And women and men, or males and females or whatever, or just people would contribute to society in the exact same ways. But after the colonization of West Africa, it was like, you can't do this because you're a woman. Like, you can't contribute to society. You can't be in our political fields because you're a woman. And a lot of these things, like, that I'm going to... Exactly, yeah. A lot of these things that I'm going to read kind of just like, well, once colonization hit, everything kind of started being exactly the same. Coincidence? I think not.
What?
Another scholar, Paula Gunn Allen, who's a Native American writer, was writing about, I don't remember what the piece was, or maybe she just wrote about this in various things, but she wrote about many Native American tribes being gynocratic, which means that they were ran by women, like the government was run by women. And she said that most people fit into gender roles not primarily based on biological sex, but on the basis of proclivity, inclination, and temperament. So if somebody was born a female in the Yuma tribe, if someone was born a female and they dreamed of weapons, they became a man for all practical purposes. They would just...
Definitely a Native American thing, absolutely.
Yeah, and then Native American people in general, a lot of cultures have, or many Indigenous American cultures have two-spirited people, which means gender variant people. So the Lakota tribe, for example, have, it was a hard word to pronounce, Winch-ti.
Hey, I tried
my very best. Thank you. Male-bodied people who adopt the clothing, work, and mannerisms considered female. And the Navajo had the Nadli people who were literally considered half man, half woman. And the shit just runs quite deep. This is all from a PBS map. I forgot what the map is called, but I'll put it in the episode notes. And it's just like little dots on Google Maps of different places that just have gender variant stuff that are different from Western gender roles. So if you get a chance to check that out, it's pretty cool. We got the Skirata. This is all so hard for me. I'm so ignorant about the world. We have the Skirata people who are in the Sakalavas tribe in Madagascar. Little boys who were thought to have feminine appearances were raised as women, and they were also believed to have supernatural protection. And I think that's another common thread that people who like were what we consider gender variant and who we kind of shit on in this society were just like
sacred.
Exactly. Holy. That's the exact word for it, or spiritual leaders. We got the Kalabai, Kalalai, and Bisu people from the Bugi tribe in Indonesia. So the Bugi tribe believed in three sexes, male, female, and intersex, and believed in five genders. Man, woman, Kalabai, who is a biological male who assumes the female gender. Kalalai, biological female, who assumes masculine gender identity. And the Bisu, who encompass either all or none. And the Bisu people were priests. Like, across the, it's just like, boy, we love these niggas. We love them. And the white people came around and was like, oh, no. Let's lynch people.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Oh, my God.
We have the Mamluk Sultante in Egypt, who were girls who exhibited masculine traits, who were then raised as boys and then afforded all the legal and societal benefits of men, which is kind of weird because, like, why were you guys only giving these specific benefits to men? But it's kind of gender variant, so we'll shout you out. Then we have the Guevedochi people in the Dominican Republic. So there's like this intersex trait that's been passed along various generations in the DR, like in this specific neighborhood or whatever in the DR. It was discovered by scientists in the 1970s. So people who are in this family or whatever will be born with undifferentiated genitalia, usually raised as women, and then at 12, they'll just grow balls for no goddamn reason. And then people are like, people in the region don't classify them as women anymore, but then they don't classify them as men. So they literally made up a gender called Guevedochi for these specific people. And they like attribute all these gender roles to them. And Guevedochi literally means balls at 12.
Oh my God.
What do we call these people? Oh, balls at 12.
Yeah, balls at 12, right? Yeah, balls at 12. 9/11, yeah, 12. All right, cool, got it.
Then we got the Kwarami people, who were a part of the Inca tribe in Peru. Kwarami is the god who the Inca tribe in Peru worshipped, and it's a third-gendered god. But by the time that Spaniards came around and colonized Peru, they called these people who worshipped this god sodomites.
Like, yeah, that's how you do it.
Yay.
Gotta play it up a little
Bible.
Bit.
Bible. And then we have the Mahu in Hawaii, who are people existing between the spectrum of femininity and masculinity, or encompassing both. They were educators and spiritual leaders, but then also by the time colonialism came around, they started to face discrimination for no goddamn reason. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think about just, like, gender roles across time and history and place and space?
It's just a societal thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some kind of gender variance exists in a lot of these societies. I mean, it's not like it's possible for the most part to live in a world where you just don't classify people. It's like somebody got to classify everybody, which is
yeah. Funny. I think that's just like a human trait. Yeah, yeah. Which might be our downfall.
That's language.
True.
You have language, and you language is used to put, you know, like meaning symbols to yeah. objects. Mm-hmm. So it's like, cool, you're a person. Like, I have to label you because this is in my language. I have to be able to describe you. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem that foreign to me. But as I said, like, men and women, or women can't exist without men can't exist without women, and transgender can't exist without either. Mm-hmm. Gender variance can't exist without either. That's why it's variant. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's still like cool to like know that my rationale isn't completely abnormal.
Yeah,
because I
yeah,
was saying that's that a validation. It's like cool cultural aspects. Like it's important that if you're going to file, we're doing taxes, if you're going to make a claim that this is like something that isn't real or stupid, mm-hmm. I hope that you read about all the cultures first.
Yeah,
and then you decide whether or not it's really stupid, because there might be aspects that you might be like, nah, this is crazy. Like 54 genders might seem like a lot for somebody. Yeah. Which is understandable, because to me it's like, damn, I didn't know it was that real. Like, fuck it, okay. But saying that transgender, like, you're just doing it just to be lit, it's like, why would you bring that upon yourself?
Yeah, because if you look at it how it's, maybe you could have staked that claim in other societies, but if you look at it in this society right now, like, there was a video of a transgender woman in Brazil, like, literally being dragged and beaten and killed on video. Like,
who wants to be gay?
Yeah.
So who wants to be being gay and trans?
Yeah, exactly. Double women.
Being gay, transgender, and black?
Yeah.
Being gay, transgender, black, and a soldier. Like, there's so many things that go into this, and it's like, why would you actively choose to do this? Mm-hmm. Unless that's how you really felt. You didn't choose that.
Yeah.
That's something that you felt. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't choose to be called a woman. Mm-hmm. That's somebody, that's something that somebody else felt. That's how you feel, because you look at me, and that makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, and it makes you uncomfortable for me to go, who? What are you talking about? Me? Yeah. Woman?
Mm-hmm. Bitch, where?
Where? How? How, Sway? Am I crazy? How I'm crazy? It's, no, negative.
So let's switch gears since we're talking about you. Your gender experience, like your discovery that you were a gender, like talk a little bit about that.
So it was after I came home from my deployment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was rough. Went through like a little alcoholic stage, and then I came to, but then I felt like something was just weird. When I came home is when a lot of transgender people were beginning to group. Mm-hmm. And really, like, the conversation really began. Mm-hmm. That was in 2013. Mm-hmm. So I started reading about it, and I'm, like, wondering, like, is this who I am? Mm-hmm. Because I can say that I've never had that vocabulary. So if you don't have the vocabulary to describe that, how you describe it? So I was actually seeking a behavioral health specialist, you know, with my drinking. Then I mentioned it to him. Like, you know, when we talk about me in the third person, you refer to me as she. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's always so weird to me because when you say that, I say who? Like, yeah. And he couldn't grasp the concept. He a psychologist, mm-hmm. couldn't grasp the concept of gender. That's how complicated it was.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you can't grasp it, how the fuck am I supposed to grasp it? And at this time, I haven't been to college yet. Or mm-hmm. actually, I was just in my first year of college. Mm-hmm. I didn't even finish a whole year of college. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, what the fuck? I was dating a guy at the time, a masculine, very masculine man, mm-hmm. But very reasonable, very intelligent. So when I started talking to him about this, I'm like, I think that I'm transgender. Like, I think I'm androgynous or, but I just didn't know. And I was really trying to understand. I didn't have any other friends who were like this. Mm-hmm. But he supported me. He's like, as long as you keep your vagina, I don't really care what happens. Like, if you get rid of vagina, I'll still fuck with you. But I don't know if I could, you know, be in a serious relationship with you. But he supported me and helped me through the process and asked me a lot of questions and did his own personal research and referred to me as his androgynous partner as opposed to his, like, girlfriend or African queen, which I always thought was creepy.
Was he calling you that?
No, he never called me Adam to everyone, okay. But people have.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's very creepy. I'm like, that's very creepy. So many reasons.
So much wrong. Yeah, 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 creepy. Yeah.
But he was very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I would never find that support with another man. Because, I mean, not only am I trans, but I'm queer. So mm-hmm. it's just a very hard concept for other people of other cultures to understand. He's just a very cultured person in general.
Yeah.
Very woke. But whatever.
I just want to know that you mean sexual queer.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to know that for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for the squad. Because
there's, like, gender queer.
Yeah, yeah. And then sexually queer. Like, I'm a pansexual. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't associate with the gender. I don't associate with the sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just fuck everybody.
Yes. That is the true spirit of the inner.
Yes. Fuck them all. Fuck them all. Fuck dudes who want to be dudes. Dudes who kind of really deep down inside want to be chicks and vice versa. I just
don't care.
Love all kinds of genitalia. So I went, you know, just went through my thing and tried, you know, experimented. Like, I started wearing 2 sports bras, trying to suppress my boobs. Like, they were huge and they weren't. So I just mm-hmm. found, like, maybe I could stop wearing bras. Stop wearing bras. And I found that that was more comfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wear, like, boxes or anything like that. I mean, I pretty much wear regular drawers, wear thongs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Life's so sexy. I paint in lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
I embrace my femininity. I've never denied that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm beautiful. You know me. I'm a fucking narcissist.
You're a bad person. Bad bitch, bad nigga.
God. So cute. Even when I'm dressed masculine, a lot of times I still wear makeup.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you're wearing baggy clothes. Why do you have on makeup? It's like, why do the two have to be separate?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I just express myself the way I want? Because it makes you uncomfortable, but it doesn't make me uncomfortable.
To fuck what you think.
Yeah, basically. It's such a stupid thing. It's been so far easy because, you know, I'm outwardly portrayed as, for the most part, a woman. People mm-hmm. see me as a size woman, but people who talk to me for longer than like 10 minutes kind of like feel that I'm like not,
mm-hmm.
but they automatically attribute my gender to my sexuality. Like, oh, she must be a lesbian.
She's masculine because she's a lesbian. Gay.
Gotcha. She fucks with women. It's mm-hmm. like, nope, got a boyfriend. Of yeah. Nope, currently in a situationship with a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can't separate that either, like
yeah.
from sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been like the hard part, or the hard part of people just automatically saying, like, I said something to one of my classmates. Granted, he was young, he's 18, but he's like, yo, don't say that. Like, you're a woman, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, says who?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you're a woman, right? I was like, why? Because I have a vagina? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what about my vagina constitutes you seeing, like, you saying that I'm a woman?
Mm-hmm.
What if I say that I'm not a woman? Then what am I? And he's like, the fuck? Like,
mind blown.
Like, yo, it's like, he was just so confused because it was such a foreign concept for
yeah.
him. And I really wanted him to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did, because he never referred to me as a woman again. And it wasn't like I was trying to be disrespectful. Just
open your mind a little bit.
A little bit of food for thought.
Mm-hmm. How was the sex, love, and dating life as an agender person?
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I don't just be out there like, hey, you cute. What's up? By the way, I'm agender, gender nonconforming. Call me they, them. Like, you know, that's so off-putting. It'd be off-putting for anybody.
In a different world it wouldn't, but I can see.
Yeah, I mean, here in America and yeah. New York.
Yes.
Especially because yeah. I love me a black man.
Yeah.
Or
say
black
agender
woman.
To a nigga, and they're just like, it just becomes like a weird debate.
Yes.
And you don't want
to. Because they talk to reply and not to listen.
Exactly.
And I mean, I'm not mad at them. It's not they did it to themselves. Hey, it's society.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be mad at you for the situation that we were all put in, because we were all put in that. We mm-hmm. all have to separate ourselves. If you haven't gotten to that point, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I still be fucking.
Yes.
I still date.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come up a couple of times. But it's just so hard to have to, like, constantly explain myself because this is so foreign. I feel like some people don't take the time to really investigate because they're not interested. But, I mean, if you're fucking with me, you're fucking with every part of me. So you're going to
exactly.
fuck with the part of me that was sexually assaulted. And you're going to fuck with the part of me that is gender nonconforming. You're going to fuck with the part of me that is a soldier. You're going to fuck with the part of me that is just a powerful black motherfucker who just fucks with all things black.
Yeah.
And the very intelligent part of me that also does a whole lot of research. I probably read more research paper than anybody mm-hmm. that I fucking know. Mm-hmm. So besides like professors and other people who are bio majors.
Yeah.
So yes, I definitely get some wee wee. Very rarely get some vagina. It's very hard to bag women.
Why?
Because
women love you.
They do and they don't.
Okay.
Like,
I guess I'm just looking at it superficially. Like when we're at a party, it's like.
But it's the same thing with dudes. The women that you don't want you.
Oh.
Like the same thing with dudes. Like dudes that you don't want you.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not necessarily attracted to the women that want me, but there's a certain confidence level that I need in my life with uh-huh. certain people, and the chicks that look at me at parties just look at me at parties. I'm like, I need you to come here.
Oh, I see. That's because they're socialized to not come to you though.
But I stayed home. They gonna miss out on some straight strong facts. Three tongue ring ass action.
You do have three tongue rings.
What you think they for?
So we can close gender by talking about some of these 54 different genders.
Oh my God. Some, please, just some.
So I don't think there's actually, I don't know, these words, the numbers are kind of interesting because, like, so for example, in the past couple of years, Facebook added 71 different gender options. Tinder has 37. New York City, as the city, recognized 31 different gender identities, but some of them are just like cisgender person, cisgender woman, cisgender man. So it's like, I feel like cisgender person is like,
what does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a human?
Yeah, I don't know. So it just racks up. But here are some. So cisgender, if you haven't fucking been listening to this podcast for the past several episodes, is a person who has the gender identity commonly associated with their biological sex. So a cisgender woman was born a biological female, assigned woman at birth, and then was like, oh yeah, I am a woman. Same thing would go for a cisgender man. Transgender person or transgender is an umbrella term that includes all people who have genders not traditionally associated with your sex. So if you were born with a penis and identify as a woman, then you're transgender woman. Then we have trans masculine and trans feminine. Ever heard of that?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay, do you want to explain it?
No.
Okay. It does. I was up all night like,
what?
I was like, this is not, I shouldn't be learning about this at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, you definitely need more time. Stuff,
exactly. But I'm a 2 o'clock in the morning person. So trans masculine is someone identified as female sex at birth who identifies as masculine, but not wholly as a man, which makes sense.
Yeah, that does make
like,
sense.
Do you, trans feminine, someone who is assigned male at birth, who identifies as feminine, but not wholly as a woman. Then we have new choice, which I think is how it's pronounced. You know? Okay. Because you fall under the new choice umbrella.
Oh, so, I do. Yes. You learned something new.
Hey. New choice is an umbrella term within the bigger umbrella of transgender or genderqueer, and it includes people who do not identify with the binary gender system, man, woman. So some new choice people are agender, neither gender, or genderless. Then we can talk about agender, which is someone who does not identify as any sort of gender identity. This may also be used by someone who is intentionally has no recognizable gender presentation. And then other synonyms for that are genderless or gender neutral. So when we go into this whole big, like, oh, 71 genders, agender and genderless kind of means the same thing. But yeah. You could say, hey, I'm agender, and you could say, hey, I'm genderless.
Yeah.
And then we get 71
but I mean,
genders.
When I first learned about agender, I read genderless, but I'm like, that warrants way too many questions. Agender, I can say agender or no gender. But mm-hmm. when you say genderless, it's like, well, how are you genderless? When you say engender, it almost gives you a gender of non-gender.
Uh-huh.
When you say genderless, it's like you completely negate gender.
The fact that gender even exists.
Yes. Yeah. But then it just
throws into... That's nuances in language, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then people are just like, please tell me more. And you're like, hey, I'm just here for a burger. Name my burger.
Can you deliver my sandwich? The fuck? So we got gender queer people, sometimes who identify outside of or wish to challenge the two gender system, may identify as multiple genders, a combination of genders, or between genders. Got gender questioning people who are literally questioning their gender and identity at that moment. You have gender fluid people, Someone whose gender identity and presentation are not confined to only one gender category. Gender fluid people may have dynamic or fluctuating understandings of their gender, moving between categories as feels right. So, for example, a gender fluid person might feel like they're a man one day and a woman on another day, or neither on a totally other day. Bigender people who identify as both man and woman. The bigender identity is a combination of two genders, but not necessarily a 50-50 combination. So you could be like 70%, whoa, you could be like 70% man, 30% woman.
This is powerful.
God. Yeah. I mean, thinking about this whole thing, like, I never want to be the type of person who, like, appropriates anything LGBT or whatever. But, like, I'm like, do I fit with this? Because I don't feel completely like a feminine woman, nor have I ever had. I feel like sometimes I like put on a show because that's what's been expected of me, but honestly I have no idea what the fuck's going on. So that's my point.
Yeah, it reading all that, you, I feel like it's almost like a horoscope.
Yeah, exactly.
You could fall anywhere
like, oh, that is actually me. Then we got gender nonconforming people, someone who looks, behaves in ways that don't conform to or atypical of society's expectations of how a person of that gender should look or behave. Then we have demigender people, which is quite interesting to me. A gender identity that involves feeling partial but not full in full connection to a particular gender identity. So, for example, a demigirl is a gender identity describing someone who is partially but not wholly identifying as a woman. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot. You look like you're racking your brain.
This is, you know, because I'm still learning.
Yeah.
So just hearing all of this, it's like, am I identifying as the right thing?
But you identify as what you want to identify as, because it's you.
But it's still like, well, it's just a lot. I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
And then I really, honestly, because then there's some things that I thought I knew, then it's like, oh, I thought that that was the definition, but then it's like you say, and it's like, oh, it makes sense, like, gender nonconforming. Mm-hmm. I just rambled for a second, but because I was just that concerned. I thought gender nonconforming was more similar to agender. Mm-hmm. Like, just not conforming to a gender, but it's like, it's just a lot.
There is a lot. Yeah, and then also, like, because these things, like, this is social science, but I mean, the whole gender biology distinction or biological sex distinction started in the 1950s. So we really don't have that much thought and time put into this stuff. No. And some people have terms that they identify as, and that term will mean something totally different to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, board of scientists who are like, this is what this is.
Fucking textbook.
Exactly.
It's in zero textbooks.
It's a lot of Googling.
We just out here, to be honest, just trying to exist in a society that labels everything. It's so important to find labels.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like there's so many, because it's such a complicated concept. So it's like, well, if I have to fit somewhere, I have to find the right place to fit. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's like, yo, we're all trans, bro.
Yeah, so it's very fluid.
Yes, it is fluid. At the very least. But it's just so, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like, imagine trying to explain that to a closed-minded
person. I'm a demigirl.
They're going to jump out the window.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally, like, open up your fucking window, jump out of it. I can't with this. What the fuck?
No, dead ass. Yeah.
I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's really, it's so much. I could never explain it to my parents. My parents would probably be like, what kind of nonsense are you saying?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I hate, because people do hear things like, oh, 54 genders, and they, because it sounds ridiculous, they'll laugh it off, but you're like laughing off people's actual identities.
Yeah.
So it is complex, but it's not nonsense, you know?
No.
That shit means stuff to people.
Yes.
So.
I mean, it's definitely not a, as I said, it only exists because of how our society
is. Exactly. It.
If our society did not have such strict roles for men and women, we wouldn't have so many different ways to break out of that.
Thank you very much for listening to this very special episode of Inner Hoa Uprising podcast. We'll be back next week with a regular group episode. And as always, have a great week, because you motherfucking deserve it.